Well, good morning. We'll be looking this morning at chapter 5 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, sections 2 and 3. I'll read them, I'll talk about them, and then we'll close in prayer. Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 5 of Providence, sections 2 and 3. Although in relation to the foreknowledge and decree of God, the first cause, all things come to pass immutably and infallibly, yet, by the same providence, he ordereth them to fall out according to the nature of second causes, either necessarily, freely, or contingently. God, in his ordinary providence, makes use of means, yet is free to work without, above, or against them at his pleasure. Well, God's perfect providence, his arrangement and care of all things in time, is the working out of his perfect predestination, his planning and ordering of all things in eternity. And so, as we look at divine providence from the perspective of the foreknowledge and decree of God, all things come to pass immutably or unchangeably, and infallibly, without error or failure. The supervisor on a building site sometimes uses an architect's plan more as a suggested guideline than as an actual blueprint, which he must follow in every detail. But in God's world, it's different. God is the first cause. He is the architect, the ultimate cause of all things. But he's also that the supervisor, and no detail will be changed as his plan comes to pass in his providence. As Peter reminded the crowds in Jerusalem, that plan, in all of its details, extends to all parts of God's creation and all things which happen in God's world, even to the capture and execution of God's own Son. That too was according to God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Well, God is the first cause. He's the executor of his own will, and he needs no other help. He needs no other to help him. If he had wished, he could have planned to continuously create every action and event, each moment, each movement and thought in the history of the world. He could have continuously created all things. He could have remained the only cause of all effects of all that happens. And yet God did not do that. In his wise providence, he chose to govern a world with patterns and regularities. In his holy plan, he decided to use some events or actions to cause other events or actions. God ordered all things to fall out according to what we would call the nature of secondary causes. From our perspective, these causes and their effects appear in a variety of types or ways. Some causes are necessary, some are free, some are contingent. Let me explain that. These different kinds of causes are illustrated by Scripture itself. As Jeremiah reminds us, God has given the sun for light by day and the moon and the stars for light by night. These are the necessary means or causes of illumination of our world, so long as it continues. Or as Exodus 21 or Deuteronomy 19 remind us, if a man innocently killed another in Israel, he had freedom, a freedom of means or causes to preserve his life by running to one of the different cities of refuge. And we can remember the words of Micaiah, the prophet, who told King Ahab that he would die in battle. As Micaiah went on to explain to those around him, the contingency of Ahab's death would be the means or the cause to either establish the truthfulness or the falsehood of Micaiah's claim to come from God. Let me try and state that differently. It's important to understand that God had definitively decreed how each of those events would turn out. But he also decided that the functioning of the solar system would be a necessary cause of the earth's light. that men would be saved or lost by their free choice of a city of refuge, and that Micaiah's integrity as a prophet would be contingent on Ahab's death. There are different ways in which causes and their effects are related. So, ordinarily, God uses different means to effect His sovereign will, as section 3 reminds us. Paul told those on board a sinking ship that they would be saved. And they were. But some had to swim. Some had to grab pieces of driftwood. All made it ashore, but they used ordinary means to get ashore. But God is not restricted to ordinary providence. God is free in His work, as section 3 reminds us. And we see this in the pages of sacred history. He is free to work apart from normal means and ways. God, He could have calmed Paul's storm, if it was His will, or miraculously transported the ship and its passengers to its destination in the Mediterranean Sea. That is to say, He could have worked without any means whatsoever. God can also work above normal means. He could take aged Sarah and give her a child long after she had the ability to carry children. And yet the child was placed in her womb and born in an ordinary way. God can work against normal means as well. Thus, in Elisha's day, He caused an iron axe head to float on water. And in Daniel's day, God caused three men to be untouched, even by the smell of fire in a furnace so hot that those who came near it perished. And what more shall I say? Time, of course, would fail me to tell of Gideon and his fleece, of the storm that Barak watched attacking his enemies, of Samson with the gates of a city upon his shoulders, of prophets who subdued kingdoms, who stopped the mouths of lions, and who witnessed women receiving their dead back to life again. Well, there is one more thing to say, and that is that all of God's good decisions, whether to use ordinary means, extraordinary means, or nothing at all, really whatever He does in His most wise and holy providence is done according to His own pleasure. And with that divine pleasure, God's people are most content, because we take Abraham's ancient question to be our ancient creed. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Of course He does. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You do right and that You do Your good pleasure. For we know that what is according to Your glory is best. So we pray that You would have Your will done on earth as it is in heaven, and that we would be content with this and rejoice in it. Do this by the power of Your Holy Spirit, and we ask this in Your Son's name. Amen.